brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Lawrence Rouse and his companions, and I myself thought, who is St. Lawrence Rouse? Because he's not a well-known saint, but he should be. He was part of a group of 16 martyrs who suffered in Japan, and one of them was St. Lawrence Rouse. He was the first canonized Filipino, the first one, the most improbable of saints, said St. John Paul II. He was a native of Manila, where he had a family. He worked for the Dominicans, crafting official documents, and facing an unjust accusation of murder, Lawrence sailed from Manila with three priests, only to discover that they were bound for Japan underway. Lawrence accompanied them to the brutal end, declaring to his captors, "Had I many thousands of lives, I would offer them all for him. Never shall I apostatize. To die for God, that is my will." That's a holy man. That's a man who had his priorities set clearly. He had a courage I don't know that I have, but I'm very, very struck by it and glad that we can honor him today on his feast, because he said, "I shall never apostatize." Listen to that. "I shall never apostatize. To die for God, such is my will." That's a man who had his head on straight and his priorities and had courage far beyond what I feel like I have, or some of us might feel that way, and yet open our hearts to God. What strength, what wisdom, what hope does God want to give us today to be able to do things perhaps that we don't think we can do? But when God gives the grace, just say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to do your will. Whatever it is, help me to be faithful to you. Help me to do your will." Pray that little prayer every day, and God will show you. I don't mean he'll come down out of heaven with a long transcript for you, but he will let you know what it is he wants of you, if it's doing something different than you are doing. But listen to him. The first reading today, Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 22. "One day, when the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Whence do you come?' And then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Roaming the earth and patrolling it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job, and that there is no one on earth like him, blameless and upright, fearing God and avoiding evil?' But Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Is it for nothing that Job is God-fearing? Have you not surrounded him and his family and all that he has with your protection? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his livestock are spread over the land. But now put forth your hand and touch anything that he has, and surely he will blaspheme you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand upon his person.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And so one day, while his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their eldest brother, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the asses grazing beside them, and the Sabaeans carried them off in a raid. They put the herdsmen to the sword, and I have alone escaped to tell you.' And while he was yet speaking, another came and said, 'Lightning has fallen from heaven and struck the sheep and their shepherds and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was yet speaking, another messenger came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three columns, seized the camels, carried them off, and put those tending them to the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was yet speaking, yet another came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their eldest brother, when suddenly a great wind came across the desert and smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I have escaped to tell you." Then Job began to tear his cloak and cut off his hair. He cast himself prostrate upon the ground and said, "Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked shall I go back again. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He trusted God. Even when those calamities came upon him, he trusted God. He didn't blaspheme. He didn't turn away. He didn't give up his faith. He was faithful. And in all this, Job did not sin, nor did he say anything disrespectful of God. Well, St. Job, pray for us. Pray for us to have the same kind of courage. Please. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 46 to 56. An argument arose among the disciples about which of them was the greatest. You see the human condition? We're so proud. Who's better? I'm better than so-and-so, or I'm better than such-and-such. An argument arose among the disciples themselves, about which of them was the greatest. And Jesus realized the intention of their hearts, and he took a child and placed it by his side, and he said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For the one who is the least among all of you is the one who is greatest." Think about that. The least among you, that doesn't judge, that doesn't speak against people, may be the greatest among you. And then John said in reply, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow in our company." And Jesus said to him, "Do not prevent him, for whoever is not against you is for you." Look at that criteria. If they're not against you, they are for you. Sometimes, you know, we turn away from people because of their manner or their speech or whatever it might be. And we may have turned away from a friend, or we may be able to help someone like that and bring them closer to God. Ask the Lord. Ask him to show you. First of all, you want to pray for those who may be sinning in some way. Pray for them. Pray a lot for them. God may change their heart right through your prayer, and you'll have to say not a word. But whatever, if God touches them, they will be open to hear you. Brothers and sisters, there's so much in that. There is just so much in that that I would like to share with you. But before, let me just say this. In Psalm 17, it tells us, "Incline your ear to me and hear my word." Do you read God's word every day? I can't do without it. It's guided my life for many, many years. Good books, yes, books of saints, absolutely. But do you read the scriptures themselves? You say, "Oh, I don't understand. I don't understand." Start with the Gospel of Matthew and read the four Gospels slowly. Take one Gospel a week and read it. Several chapters a day. Go through all four Gospels and then read the Psalms. And then read the very beginning, the Old Testament, so to speak. Read that at the end. It's first in the Bible, but I would recommend, if you're not used to reading the Scriptures, do it in that order, the Gospels, the Psalms, and then the Old Testament. Read, read, read at what the saints did. Take it in deeply for yourself. But I want to say more, a little more about Job. Jesus is the immediate answer to Job because he shares his suffering and is the only one to do so Suffering encloses a man in solitude, puts him outside communion with his fellow men. It does, doesn't it? Sometimes when we're suffering, we pull into ourselves. We don't talk. We don't share with other people. But being Job, between Job and his friends, an abyss was cleft. They regarded him with astonishment as a strange being, as a sudden appearance of the unprecedented in the midst of the very ordinary, as one marked with a sacred sign. But they could no longer get to him. Only Jesus could cross this abyss. And it is only because he has first shared the suffering of everyone who suffers that in him and by him, every man who suffers can find communion with other men. Jesus is furthermore the answer to Job because he gives a meaning to suffering. Not that he explains it, for it does not come within the sphere of explanation, but he puts it into the world of the supernatural. Suffering is the means whereby the righteous man may be reunited with a sinner. It exists in a sinful universe, but the suffering of the righteous shatters the logic of suffering and sin. It allows suffering to exist where sin does not exist. And because it is bound up with the sin, by this very fact, it allows the righteous man to take the load of sin upon himself and so to destroy sin. It allows the righteous man to enter into communion with sinners, and thus Jesus unveils the mystery, the hidden meaning of Job's suffering, a suffering which remained a mystery to Job himself. Finally, Jesus is the answer to Job because he does away with his suffering. Suffering cannot be accepted any more than it can be explained. If love can cause someone to take suffering upon himself, it is the love therein alone that is lovable, and its final purpose is to do away with suffering. The book of Job is, in the end, a book of hope. Jesus took suffering upon himself in order to do away with suffering. Think of that. He redeemed our suffering. No matter how many of us are suffering right now, Christ redeemed our suffering. It will help to make us holy for him. Do everything you can against the suffering in your own body, your own mind, but always, always thank God. I know it might come out of clenched teeth, but Lord, teach me through this suffering, whatever it might be, teach me through this suffering that you want to love me and that you want to draw me closer to yourself. And so I offer my suffering to you for the world, for America, for the pandemic, whatever it might be, offer it and pray. And God's love will be gracious toward you. Take courage, be patient, and love the Lord. I ask God to give you that grace today. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.